So what I'd like to speak about, I want to start with the first major public song that we have in the Bible. And that is when Moses comes and sings with the Jewish people after the splitting of the Red Sea. And what we find is very interesting language. Moses sings to Hashem, to God, with all of his wisdom and use of language, and he gets all of Bnei Israel, all of the Jewish people, to join him. What's beautiful at that moment, when he galvanizes all of the children of Israel to sing, we see Moses and the children of Israel sang to God. So the first time we see a full song in the Bible is to sing to God. And that is a very important message. Music is connected with our relationship with God. It is a way to express our thanks, our connection, our understanding how God really is controlling, but also the benevolent one ruling the world. But more than that, and because this is one of my favorite topics, and it fits so well with what Marilyn Bell's Shalom was interested in. Right away, after all of Bnei Israel sing, after all the Jews sing, Miriam takes a timbrel in her hand. And the minute she takes that timbrel, all the women come out after her to sing and dance with musical instruments and song and dance. So when the women come out to sing, they don't just sing repeating what Moses said. They do that as well. But there's also a full experience. They're dancing, they're singing, they're playing musical instruments. And when it talks about the women, it says all the women came out to sing and dance and praise God. Not just a few, not just, oh, the multitudes, but every single one. There's a certain connection to this kind of singing praise that is connected with the Jewish women, with the Israelite women. And it is Miriam who's responding to the women. And Miriam sang unto them, right? She just takes the timbrel in her hand. But all the women intuitively come out to praise and sing and dance. And it's Miriam who's responding to this amazing energy of the women. What does the Mechilta say? The Mechilta says something very interesting. The Mechilta is an old and one of the first Jewish midrashim that we have. And it says that in Egypt already, the righteous women were already preparing musical instruments and dance in order to praise God when the moment came, which means that they had this understanding that greatness is going to happen, that an unbelievable event is going to take place, and they want to be at the forefront. So already in Egypt, they already anticipated this greatness. The Ezra adds that one of the interesting additions that they really added to this wonderful experience was the addition of musical instruments. So the women added musical instruments, and that is something that is special for what the women added to this special event. Not just singing with their voices, not just dancing, but the musical instruments added a certain special element to praising God. So music, as we see, plays a very important role at the most important moment of the Jewish people when they come out of Egypt and the Red Sea split, and they know now for sure that they have a future ahead of them and Egypt is behind them. It was music that played such an important role in praising God. And the women took this even a notch higher with the dancing, with the singing, and with the musical instruments. And the Da'at Sofrim, Rabbi Rabinovich, comments beautifully that it was this Romimut Ruach, this elevated spirit of the women who intuited in this pure and deep way that there's something about music that connects you to God in this unbelievable way. And to give expression to it at a religious moment pierces the heavens in a special way. And that's why at that moment, it wasn't even so much the words that were only important. It was playing the musical instruments. It was the singing. There's something about the element of music, even of instruments, which adds another layer to this event. Later on, we're going to see in the next sources that David HaMelech, David the king, adds music, right? Musical accompaniment to the service in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash. But who intuited this connection first? Rabinovich, the Da'at Sofrim, says it was the women. The women at Yam Suf, after the Red Sea, they intuited this amazing connection of song, musical instruments, and worshiping God. So that's why the Bell's School of Music is so important, because it's an important integral element of worship, of connection. Chazanut, a good chazan, playing musical instruments at times that you can, at a wedding. Musical instruments really add, of course, to the even beautiful voices that individuals have. It's a special connection, the human voice and musical instruments. We see in Samuel, in Shmuel Bet Perek Vav, we see that when David, who's already king, brings the Ark of the Covenant to Yerushalayim, he brings it with song and dance, and he's totally immersed in this celebration to bring it. And what are the words that are used? Lifnei Hashem. He is singing and dancing with his might before God. So music is also a way of celebrating, bringing the Ark of the Covenant, celebrating before Hashem. You feel right before God when you are singing your prayer and you are celebrating and complimenting and really connecting with God. In Dvarei HaYamim, in Chronicles, we see that not only does King David sing himself when he brings the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, but we see as well that in the end of his days, he says, oh, when there's going to be worship in the temple, we must add musical instruments. The Levite's job is going to be singing and playing musical instruments when the worship is done in the temple. And we even have songs that were created, Shir HaMa'alot, the song of ascents, on the steps leading to the temple. And it is King David, the Melech, who is the author of many of the Tehillim, who is the one who really instituted this beautiful integration of worship and of song. And David is known from the very early years as Ne'im Zmir Israel. When we speak of David, we speak of him as the one who put together the musical praising of Hashem. Not only did he put together the beautiful words, but he also played, and he also played a musical instrument. When King Saul was looking for someone to help him get into a better mood and to feel enlightened and to feel God's presence, all of his servants and all of his household were looking for someone who can play a musical instrument, who can really help him become inspired. And who was that? They picked David HaMelech. Sorry, David. He was still young. He wasn't king yet. Soon to be king. But David was chosen because when he played music, Saul, King Saul, was inspired. It really transformed who he was. Music is so powerful. And as we see very distinctly, one of the highlights of David's life, not only that he was king, but he was Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, the anointed one, but also Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, the one who is the composer, the one who is the singer, the one who can bring divine inspiration on others and who had divine inspiration, Ruach Hashem, in order to inspire others. But you could say, okay, maybe we had the people at Yam Suf. Maybe we only see this with David. And King David, David HaMelech, they were unusual. Moshe Rabbeinu, unusual. But we see that this is a theme throughout the Bible, throughout Tanakh. When we think of important individuals who praised Hashem, they do it with beautiful words. We find Devorah and Hannah sang praises to Hashem, thanking after wonderful events happen. And we also find that music still played a very important role. As we said, King Saul needed inspiration, but not only when David was playing for him. Even his initial inspiration, when he was anointed as king, he needed events to really bring him over the top to be connected with God, to be able to be king. And what event happened to him, as we see in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud, in Samuel chapter 10, that King Saul, right, this is actually before, he's anointed, he's about to become king. What did he need to really get him inspired? Samuel, the prophet, tells him, you know what? In order to get you to the level of inspiration to be a king, you will meet prophets who are learning to be prophets, students in prophecy, and they are playing musical instruments. They're playing the lyre, they're playing the flute, and they're using this and tambourines and drums in order to inspire them to receive prophecy. And when you join them, you will receive this as well. Again, music helps you connect to God. It helped Shaul HaMelech, Saul the king, receive the kind of inspiration that he needed in order to be king, to feel God's presence in this unbelievable way. And yes, when King Saul, or soon to be King Saul, meets these prophets who are playing these musical instruments, he receives this inspiration as well. So music plays a very important role in our praise for God, but also in our recognizing God's presence in us and within us and around us. And this continues even later. We see that Elisha, who was a very special student of Elijah, of Eliyahu HaNavi, he receives inspiration as well. He is a wonderful prophet. He's the student of Elijah. And Elijah goes up to heaven. He says, I want twice as much as your prophecy or your ability to do miracles. And Eliyahu HaNavi promises him, you will get it. You will be inspired doubly. So this is Elisha, who is on very high level, a student of Elijah, of Eliyahu HaNavi. But when he needs to receive prophecy and Jehoshaphat asks him to prophesy for him, what does he ask for? He asks for someone to play music. And once someone will play music for him, he will be inspired. So we see throughout Tanakh that music plays a very important role in inspiration and prophecy, in making sure that our connection with God is maintained. Of course, learning, connection to Torah is the avenue and is the, I would say, environment. But within the environment of Torah, our connection with God is through music. And music plays a very important role. And it goes hand in hand, because if you look very carefully at all these incidents that we spoke about music, they're all religious events. At Yam Suf, praising God after crossed the Red Sea. We find here as well, when they want to prophesy, when you want to become a great leader, when you worship in the temple, think about it. Every single aspect of Jewish life in the Bible here has an aspect of music, because it connects us psychologically, and we know neurologically. Music captures so many different parts of our brain, and it really inspires us on so many different levels. And many times when people are ill or have dementia or other sicknesses, right, or interested interestingly enough, some kind of difficulties neurologically, music is the last connection that people have. They sing davening, they sing songs, and that connects them. It is primal. It is the way for us to connect to Hashem, to God. The other area that I know Jack and Marilyn Alea HaShalom were involved in is art. We saw their art in the museums. Many places, they have physical art. And the question is, so what about physical art in Tanakh? Material art, fashionable art. So we see right away that in the tabernacle, in the Mishkan, we fashion all the parts of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, from beautiful materials, from gold, from silver, from copper, beautiful threads, beautiful materials, whether it's skins or silk or other beautiful materials, and even natural materials, whether it be wood or other building materials. Why use the best? Why use beautiful materials? Just say, right? We are a religion that doesn't believe so much in physical items and we can't see God. So why not? You know, singing is enough, right? Just words are enough. Why did we build a beautiful tabernacle? Why did we build a beautiful temple? Why do we build beautiful synagogues? What is it about art? Why do we build a beautiful sukkah, right? And we decorate it beautifully. Because aesthetics are important in Judaism. They just have to be used in the right way. And it has to be used, again, in the worship or praise of God. So in the tabernacle, we see that the most beautiful materials were brought in, even expensive stones, expensive gemstones. And what is mentioned afterwards? Ve'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. They will make me a temple, a place of holiness, and I will dwell among them. In Judaism, we integrate the material, the physical, with the spiritual. We are a religion that values aesthetics, that beauty, physical, right, is important when used as a way to thank God and to realize God's presence in this world. We don't shun it. We have beautiful meals to celebrate on holidays. As we said earlier, physical space is very important, but it has to be in the right balance, but we celebrate it. And the tabernacle was a place of beauty that God dwelt within. And even further on, in the discussion of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, we find something very interesting. Hashem asks Moshe to build the Mishkan and to appoint other people. And one artist that was appointed is called Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor l'Mate Yehuda. And if you think about his name, number one, Bezalel, the Medrash says, Bezalel Kael, he's in the shadow of God, which means he developed and seen by God. And he happened to be, according to the Midrash, Miriam's grandson. And what is so interesting, or great-grandson, what is so interesting about this idea? This idea is very important because it says that the person who's going to help be the artist for the tabernacle was filled Ruach Hashem, with God's spirit, b'chokhmah, with intelligence, with tvuna, with wisdom, and bedat, with knowledge. This, and an artist who can connect with God and really fashion godlike items, things we use at the Seder, things we use at other religious events. And again, at the museum, you see so many beautiful Judaica items. We were marveling at the beautiful different types of the Seder plates and of the different articles that were used, and the Besamim, and for Havdalah, and for Kiddush, and for so many different events. Meaning we celebrate our beautiful holidays and Shabbat with beautiful items, we set a beautiful table and beautiful candlesticks because the aesthetics are important. So it was someone who was godly inspired who really fashions the tabernacle. It is Bezalel. It is someone who was filled with all this great knowledge and great understanding. And he is the one who made sure that all the things of gold and of silver and of copper were done in the most ideal way. And Rav Hirsch says something very interesting. Rav Hirsch says, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, who is in the late 19th century in Germany, a very important person to us in Yeshiva University, because he is very important in the ideology of Torah im derech eretz, Torah culture and integration with the outside culture, but only, right, what fits with our ideology and our values. But he says something very interesting. He says, why did he have to have all these elements? Why did he have to have all these aspects? And one of the reasons is that when you fashion something artistically, and especially for a religious item, for the tabernacle, which is the main religious center for B'nai Israel, for the Jews, for hundreds of years, starting in the desert and then continuing in Israel, is that it's not just, as he says, omanut chitzoni. It's not just an external art. It's not just, oh, you know, once you know how to make something physically, that's it. Just about the physical manifestation. Oh, you know how to make something pretty. No. You also have to understand its symbolic and religious intent, which means the artists of religious art of the tabernacle of the Mishkan had to have also an understanding. And Bezalel was someone who understands and intuits God's message of spirituality in this world. And he is an artist, not just an artist of the physical, of the outside. You have to internalize and understand this message. Cantor Joseph Ma'alavani is someone who we are connected with for many years. And my husband always discusses with him his ability to daven and to pray in such a beautiful way and express the religious meaning of the davening, of the prayers. And Cantor Ma'alavani always explains to my husband, because I understand the words, I know they're supposed to explain and mean, that I'm able to put together music that will bring the congregation along with me on this journey to service God. That is what the artist is able to do. The artist who can convey religious meaning. So whether it's in art, physical art, or in musical art, especially when it's connected to prayer or celebration at a wedding, is very important. And that's what Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says. It is something that is the deep understanding. It's not just something, oh, how to put the pieces together of the metal. Oh, you know how to draw well. No, it reflects a much deeper message, a much, much deeper message. Not only in the tabernacle, in the Mishkan did we have this kind of beauty. We also have it in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple that King Solomon built. When King Solomon builds the temple, first of all, we already know that in the end of Chronicles, King David already set aside a lot of materials to bring to the future built temple. David couldn't build it. David HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, but he collected a lot of materials in order to set the temple on its path. But it is son, King Solomon, who builds the temple. And again, we see the beautiful materials, just like we had in the tabernacle, that are used. We have beautiful wood. We have beautiful stone. We have gold, silver, copper. And the Bible tells us very clearly that King Solomon only built it with the most unique and precious materials. But once it was finished, He comes in and he gives a beautiful blessing. What do we do in the temple? Of course, we also bring sacrifices. So central to what goes on in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash. But prayer. Prayer is the main element of what goes on in the temple. When we bring the korban, side by side, we daven to Hashem. And we raise our voices in praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But again, materialism, art, always needs meaning. It needs some kind of content. It can't be just art without this religious content if it's going to be religious art. It has to have some kind of meaning. That's why God warns Shlomo and says, you built a beautiful building, but it has to be integrated with the correct religious value. That is this integration. And in the end, in Malachim, Shlomo builds himself a throne that is beautiful and almost rivals, right, the temple. And that's where King Solomon falters a little. Because yes, aesthetics are very important. And beauty is very important. And all things are very important. But in the end, when they speak about King Solomon, originally we speak about him as being the wisest man who ever lived. And also someone who understands beauty and aesthetics. But even King Solomon, unfortunately, the end of his life is mentioned here. Oh, that he was mostly known for his wealth, but not for his wisdom in the end. But the message is clear that aesthetics, art, music play a very important role in Judaism. And when integrated with values and content, they really send to us these messages. And that's why our synagogues are beautiful. Our institutions are beautiful. Music plays an important role. And we have seen throughout the lives of the Bell's family is their understanding of this interface and this nexus. The idea of the material, the aesthetic, music, art, and also how it can contribute to the Jewish community. What we learn, right? How it can impact our lives. And especially for us here in YU, the connection of the Bell's Music School. It's a way of teaching and a way of spreading this beautiful message that music really enhanced our lives. But also I have to say, we really enjoyed the collection, Judaica collection, and we're inspired by that as well. The physical beauty and aesthetic and artwork that could go into Judaica, and that we still have that spirit with us today because these were modern artists. This was contemporary Judaica, and that spirit is still with us today. So I just want to say what a great loss it is, and we really grieve the passing of Marilyn Bell's Alea Shalem, but want to give a blessing to Jack and family, that may you continue to be healthy and just live for many years, and to really spread, right, this beautiful feeling of God's gift of music, art throughout the Jewish community and the world. So thank you so much.